Mixopoly. And we have our guest on the line, too, and looking forward to getting acquainted on the line. Why don't you introduce yourself a little bit, Sid, and tell us where you're coming from. Hello? I'm having a little trouble hearing.
Okay, can you hear me better now?
So still a little faint.
Okay, is that better?
That's better, yes.
Okay. I come from a traditional Jewish background. I've spent half my life as a traditional Jew and half of my life as a Jewish believer in Jesus.
And, very interesting.
But I tell you, Myrna, the biggest shock that I had 30 years ago when I became a Jewish believer in Jesus was Christians. And what I mean by
that's probably pretty shocking, I guess.
Well, it was shocking because here I was involved in the New Age. I had an experience with the devil. I knew that the devil was real. I knew that he had power. And then I had an experience with Jesus, and I knew that he was real, and I knew that he had greater power. And so, but most of the Christians I met, they really didn't know anything about the devil, and they knew of the historical Jesus. Even the ones, I have to be candid with you, Myrna, even the ones that said they were born again, they just went as far as the institutional churches went. They didn't go as far as the Bible. And I really had a problem because I found very few priests and very few ministers, and of course no rabbis, that really knew Jesus. They all knew about him. And I found out that eternal life is not born again, as most people say. It is, that is a part of it, but this is what the Bible says. This is eternal life, that you might know him. In other words, have intimacy with him. And I think we've been handed a tremendous satanic disservice by saying, say this little prayer with Billy, and you too have your heaven life insurance policy. I think there's a whole lot more to it than that, and I guess you didn't realize, you didn't want that much from your first question, but I have to leave you.
No, that's okay, because
I tell you a scripture that it's in the Bible, you know, it's not something I've made up. In the book of Revelations, we're told that you have to be hot or cold, and if you're lukewarm, which I happen to believe is the temperament of American Christianity, if you're lukewarm, Jesus says, and this is not in the nice English translations, this is in the Greek, Jesus says, I'll vomit you out of my mouth. So someone is telling someone something wrong, and I'm so glad I have the Bible, because I would think I'm wrong if I didn't have the Bible based on what's being taught.
Yeah, well, it's very interesting, and I'll ask you to describe in a while your experience with New Age and what you said about knowing the devil or Jesus or so forth intimately. I think it's probably broadly true that most people see things at one remove and are talking about more of a historical presence than anything else.
Well, most people have greater intimacy with their church than with God.
I expect that's true. I hear our music in the background means we have to take a little break. We'll be back with Sid Roth, and this is Radio Liberty. Rejoining you in a moment. This is Myrna Culbert. Yes, this is Radio Liberty again. We're rejoining you. Perhaps I'm not quite coordinated with the bumpers, but we're here with Sid Roach. Sid, you were telling us you've had a personal experience of coming from a Jewish background to a Christian background by way of a New Age scenario. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the excursion into the New Age?
Sure. And Myrna, it's pronounced Roth, R-O-T-H.
Roth. Oh, I'm sorry that I mistranslated the spelling.
Well, to be candid with you, it starts way before that. It starts in my Jewish home. I remember one day coming home to my parents because I had a book. It was called Ripley's Amazing Fact Book. Have you ever read Ripley's?
I've seen Ripley's, Believe It or Not, and things like that. Yes, I think I've got a whole book.
I got a whole book of his, of the most amazing, Believe It or Not, that Ripley ever accumulated. And I'm reading and minding my own business, and all of a sudden I see an amazing fact that my blood started to boil. It said, it had the nerve, this Mr. Ripley had the nerve to say Jesus was Jewish. And I remember running to my parents and saying, the nerve of those Christians, because I didn't know anything about Jesus, but I knew the one thing was, we Jews don't believe in him, so how could he be Jewish? And
right.
I went to my parents, and my parents said to me, they shocked me more than Ripley. They said, yeah, Jesus is Jewish. Now, I have a pet peeve, Myrna. Here's my pet peeve. I don't know whether you believe in modern-day prophets. I do. I believe everything that is in the Bible. And a lot of Christians run to get prophecies to find out what God's telling them, which, again, shows that they don't have the intimacy with God. And it's okay for a prophet to confirm a prophecy. But what bothers me, Myrna, is that if we're not following the Bible, why do we want a prophecy? Now, this is what the Bible says. It says, salvation has come to the Gentile. And I assume that's you, Myrna. Are you from a non-Jewish background?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Okay, salvation. So we might even say, salvation has come to Myrna. This is in Romans, the 11th chapter, the 11th verse. Now, it says Gentile, but I'm going to put your name in there. Salvation has come to Myrna, and then it says there's something you're supposed to do, to provoke the Jew to jealousy. And it, in other words, this is so important to God. Even though the Jewish people are a minority group, there is something so important to Almighty God that the Gentile Christian has their calling put in writing. It says, salvation has come to Myrna to provoke the Jew to jealousy.
Oh, boy, I wouldn't want to tangle with Israel, but I guess I'm willing. All right, we'll come back in a moment.
Go right ahead.
Yes, okay. And all right, what we're doing, I guess, is going ahead after the bumper music. So here we are again. Tell me then, Sid, how you got shocked to find out that Jesus was a Jew, which I suspect a lot of Christians don't really relate to that very much in the first place either.
Most Christians don't relate to it, and that's the reason Jesus isn't back, but that's a whole different story.
Well, that might well be true. I suspect, you know, a good many Christians have been out there persecuting Jews for 4,000 years, and it does not speak too well for the fact that that they're respecting somebody who came from a Jewish background, but they're out, meanwhile, doing the Holocaust.
Oh, I wish that's all there was. I mean, you may not be aware of this, but even today, yesterday in Moscow, a rabbi was stoned, almost killed, Jewish in Moscow. And in the United States, it's under the surface, but according to the latest surveys, anti-Semitism in the United States, because of the Israel-Palestinian situation, is at an all-time high. So unfortunately, the one behind it is not Christians and not Muslims. The one behind it is the devil. He recognized that his checkmate is when Jewish people believe in Jesus, and he doesn't like his checkmate. He likes running around killing and stealing and devouring, and so therefore he's going around trying to kill all the Jewish people because Jesus made this statement. He said, I shall not return until the Jewish people say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So, you know, you see his strategy. He's putting a wedge in between Jews and Christians. Now, why does he want this wedge? Because Jesus said not to have it. That's his first reason. The second reason is it's his checkmate that he's finished once Jewish people receive Jesus, and we will. The problem I'm having is that a lot of Jews and a lot of Gentiles and a lot of Christians are going to die prematurely as a result of not doing what Paul said Jesus came for in Ephesians, the second chapter. It says that Jesus came to break down the middle wall of separation between Jews and Gentiles. Today it seems as though we've established even a greater wall of separation between Jews and Gentiles, or in particular Jews and Christians. Anyway, I didn't know any of this stuff that I'm telling you right now. All I knew is that my great teacher of the day happened to be television. I don't know about you, Myrna, whether that was your great teacher.
Oh, I have been known to tune in.
All right, well, my great teacher was television, and this is what TV taught me. It taught me I'm a real logical person. That's my greatest asset and my greatest liability, all in the same package, because if in the spiritual dynamics you don't have all the facts, so therefore logic doesn't always work. But in the natural, that's my gifting. I'm a very logical person. And I learned from my teacher of the day, television, that if I would be a millionaire, I could be happy. And I wanted to be happy. I will tell you, I did have a great fear, and this may interest you. When I was a child, my parents had an interesting habit. They liked to play poker.
Uh-huh.
And they were out late at night playing poker, and I was home alone. And I had a conversation with myself, although it really wasn't, but I thought it was. And the conversation went something like this. A question popped in my head. I can't tell you where it came from. It just popped in my head. What happens when you die? And so, logically, I tried to come to a conclusion. Well, when you die, and this is what I thought, Judaism doesn't believe it, but at all the funerals, no one talked much about the person being in heaven. So, therefore, I thought when you died, you ceased to exist. That was my, as a child, that's what I thought. So I did, in my childish mind, I tried to imagine what it would be like if I ceased to exist. And, you know, the more I thought about it, the more objectionable it became. It was sort of like, the Bible says God has put eternity in our heart. And this eternity in my heart refused to want to believe that I would cease to exist. So I did the only thing a child with a logical mind and not the right information could come up with, is I stopped thinking about it. I blocked it from my mind. So anyway, I'm just telling you, even as a child, I was logical, but not always getting the right information. Well, I didn't get the right information from television either. I decided that by age 30, I would be a millionaire. Here I reach age 29, and I'm not a millionaire. I'm not even close to being a millionaire, and I figure it's the end of the world. So I did something that I'm not proud of, but I left my wife, I left my daughter, I left my job. I was an account executive with a major stock brokerage firm, Merrill Lynch, and I went searching for happiness, but I didn't know where to go. Well, I got married early, so I thought, the singles bars, that's the place. And so I went to the singles bars, and I found out I bumped into people lonelier than me in these places, and so we were both lonely together. Didn't solve a thing. I mean, I went a year, and instead of being better, I got worse. I said, I wasn't going to make my $1 million. I wasn't going to be, by 30, I wasn't going to be happy. And then one of my salesmen came into my office one day and he said, Sid, a friend of mine has taken a New Age meditation course and he can do the most amazing things with his mind. He can get information that he never had in his mind. It just comes from his spirit guide, except they didn't call it a spirit guide. They called it a counselor. And he said, this guy had no psychic, no ESP talents before, and he took this course, and as a result of it, all of a sudden he knew things that his natural mind had never been programmed, and therefore, my logical mind said, whoa, if I can get information that I've never programmed in my mind, I can use this in the stock market, I can use this at horse racing, I can make a lot of money. And so I immediately took this course. It was a New Age course. I won't mention the name of it. The reason is that there are thousands of these New Age courses. They just have different names. So what difference does it make? Well, anyway, they taught me how to lower my brain waves through mental relaxation. It's almost like what happens when someone is hypnotized. And you have brain waves that go very fast. Like right now, they're going very fast. But if you dull your mind and watch TV, I'm picking on TV tonight, dull your mind and watch television, you kind of really relax. It's almost like you're hypnotizing. And at that point, they instructed me to invite a friend, an imaginary friend. I thought this whole thing was a mishigas, was craziness to me. They said they'd give me my money back if it didn't work, so I stuck around to the end of the course. They said, invite this imaginary friend into your head. And when I did this, I got the shock of my life. Something started talking to me. And at the end of the class, they gave me what they called was the acid test. They gave me the name of someone I had never heard of, and they said, what's wrong with this person physically? Well, I mean, you know, come on now, give me a break. And all of a sudden, I didn't hear anything, but I saw something. I saw a stick figure of a woman and an X over her left breast, and I just blurted out, could she have cancer of the left breast? And they said, that's exactly what she has. And I knew that I had no way of knowing this. I knew it wasn't anything psychic. It's this counselor was showing me things. And boy, did I get happy. But I'll tell you, these powers started getting stronger and stronger. And I was still getting happier and happier. Like, I'll give you an example. One day, a Christian businessman comes in my office, and he said, Sid, and I barely knew him, I might add. He said, Sid, my partner and I have some extra office space. If you should ever want to go into business for yourself, we'll give you a free secretary, free telephone, free rent. And I thought, oh, this power, this is so wonderful. Wow. Well, I didn't know it, but this Christian businessman, he had his own power. His power was God. And Jesus spoke to him as opposed to this familiar spirit that was speaking to me. And Jesus said, for him to offer me that space, but I didn't know it at the time.
That's interesting.
And so I went into the office, and they had Bible studies, and they started showing me scriptures that Jesus was the Messiah. Well, I didn't even believe the Bible was from God, so what difference does it make? But one day, they showed me one scripture that forever changed my life. It was Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter. And what God says there is, it is an abomination to be in any aspect of the New Age, whether it's channeling, whether it's hypnosis, whether it's communicating with the dead, whether it's going to fortune tellers or witchcraft. And then I went into a bookstore, and I went into the New Age section, and the bookstore didn't know the difference between Christianity and the New Age. They had a Christian book in there. But the book's title was The Jew, the Bible, and the Supernatural. Light bulbs went on. I'm Jewish. I just read this mishigas, this craziness in the Bible that God called it an abomination to be involved in the New Age. And it talks about the supernatural, the Jew, the Bible. Perfect for me. I grab the book. I start reading it. And it said something my Christian friends did not even know. They didn't even tell me this. It listed one Jew after another Jew that was doing the exact same thing I was doing that lost their lives. And this is what it said. It said, whether a Jew knows this or not, he has a covenant with God based on the promises to the fathers of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And therefore, when a Jew goes in the New Age, it's worse than when a Gentile goes in the New Age, although it's an abomination for both to do it. Well, my hero at the time was a Jewish man by the name of Brian Epstein. Do you remember him?
I don't think I know him.
All right, okay. Well, you know the group that he managed, the Beatles.
Oh, well, yes.
He was the Jewish manager of the Beatles. Now, at that time, none of the Beatles died. They were making such statements as they're more famous than Jesus Christ. But they were into New Age. The whole group went to the Himalayas.
All right, hold that thought. We'll come back in a moment.
Okay.
Okay, let's go ahead then. We're saying that the...
Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City? Well, a very important video is the cover-up in Oklahoma City. It really consists of film clips that were actually taken from video footage shot during the first 2 or 3 days after the bombing. And you'll actually hear the commentators in Oklahoma City talking about the second bomb, the third bomb that had been disarmed. Now, if they were actually disarming bombs there, why didn't we hear that throughout the rest of the country? You'll actually hear an interview with one of the gentlemen who was in the Murrah building at the time that the bomb went off, and he had time then to jump underneath his desk before the blast blew in from outside. Obviously, there were two bombs, one inside, one outside. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish.
This is Dr. Stan here, and I just want to mention that if you feel run down, if you feel that you need more energy, have you ever considered taking Be Alive Royal Jelly? Now, I've taken this for about 10 years on my own, and along with my family, we've been very, very satisfied with it. And recently, why, the Be Alive people approached us and asked if we'd like to have them sponsor us for a month. So we certainly agreed to that because we think it's a great product, and I think you will too. Let me suggest that you call 1-866-233-7500. That's 1-866-233-7500. The product is sold with a money-back guarantee. So give them a call at 1-866-233-7500 and simply ask to learn more about Be Alive Royal Jelly. I think that you'll be very, very satisfied with this product.
Hello, this is health journalist Bill Sardi, and there's no better time to establish a biological response kit in your home. In an age when we hear about biological threats, more common are cases of E. coli in our food, cryptosporidium in our tap water, and staph germs, viruses, and molds in our air conditioning systems. Why be a sitting duck and run to the doctor after you've got a problem? Why not take something to stay healthy, like Alamex, the all-new 100% pure Allicin garlic extract? You won't find Alamex in stores, but you'll find it by calling 866-405-4000. Alamex is equivalent to 15 cloves of fresh crushed garlic. And guess what? It's odor-free. Call 866-405-4000.
Book that will really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Kaw's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Kaw's book, En Route to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going to the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw will give you tremendous insights into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw.
We are here with our guest today, Sid Roth. And Sid, you were just telling us why it's particularly bad for a Jew to be involved in the New Age.
Because a Jew, according to the Bible, is under a covenant with God. A Gentile is not, but a Gentile can come into this great covenant that we Jewish people have under the new covenant. However, a Gentile, it's an abomination to be involved in the New Age, but because we Jews are under a covenant, it's twice as bad. And if this book listed, my idol, Brian Epstein, the Jewish manager of the Beatles. At that time, all the Beatles were alive. They all went to the Himalayas. They all were involved with New Age gurus, but only one died at that time, the Jew, my hero, Brian Epstein. And it listed one Jewish person after another that was doing the same things I was doing in the New Age that lost their life. Well, that was it. I decided I am going to go into neutral gear. I'm not going to be involved with this little voice. And I got the shock of my life, Myrna. This little voice inside of me, my counselor, who's supposed to be my friend, started cursing me for the first time when I said I'm going into neutral gear and I'm not going to use his power. But then it got even worse for this little bugger because I said, I'm going to start reading the Bible. Uh-huh. And so I did this, but I all of a sudden I got into a realm called astral projection. Are you familiar with that?
Well, I just know the term, but I don't really know what it's
about. That's when your spirit leaves your body. And I have to tell you, I was getting so scared because I recognized I was involved in the demonic. This book showed it to me, the Bible showed it to me, and then the acid proof for me was this familiar spirit started cursing me. Now, if you've ever seen the movie or read the book The Exorcist, I was living it. I didn't want to be involved with the devil. I mean, I can't think of a more gross thought than to have an evil spirit inside of you. And the worst thing than even that was, I didn't know how to get rid of it. If I'd gone to my rabbi would have referred me to a psychiatrist, and a psychiatrist less than 100 years ago was performing lobotomies because they didn't understand demon possession. If I went to my parents, who would give their life for me, there's nothing they could do for me. I remember it got so bad that, remember I told you as a young child, I blocked from my mind what death was like because I didn't want to think about ceasing to exist. But life got too hard, Myrna. I don't know if you can relate to this, but I've read every book on positive thinking, and I'll tell you, all these books work till you have your first crisis. I had a crisis. The positive thinking couldn't help. And I can have a little levity now, but trust me when I say I had more fear than any human should be able to tolerate, and I wanted out of this life. And I remember the worst night of my life. I went to bed. I didn't care whether I lived or died. And I remember I called my wife, and I didn't even tell her that this evil thing was inside of me. She couldn't relate. See, my wife was raised Southern Baptist. When she got to college, she had atheistic professors who talked her out of her faith. She says that she wasn't an atheist just in case, but she would call herself an agnostic. So she was a Southern Baptist agnostic when I met her, and I insisted she convert to Orthodox Judaism, so you might say she was a Southern Baptist agnostic Orthodox Jew.
That is quite a pedigree.
And so we were separated at the time. I called my wife on the phone, and I said, "Joy, it's bad. Pray for me." Well, she said she would. She hung up. I hung up. I went to sleep. I didn't care whether I lived or died. I really didn't. I literally gave up. But I did say a two- or three-word prayer. I said a two-word prayer. "Jesus, help." That was my prayer. Now, my wife didn't pray for me because she was an agnostic. Why should she was a Southern Baptist agnostic Orthodox Jew. I mean, why should she pray?
Right.
But she's an honest person, so she said, "You know, he sounded so pathetic, and I promised him." So for the first time since she was a child, you know, in the Bible it says, "Train up a child in the ways of the Lord, and when they're old, they'll not depart." Well, she said a prayer for me. I went to bed. I woke up the next morning, and I had an experience that I never had in the New Age, and I had lots of experiences in the New Age, as you can imagine. I mean, hearing voices. But you know, I'm not a stupid person. I'm a college graduate. I was an account executive at Merrill Lynch. I'm a very logical, good, clear-thinking individual, and I tell you that this counselor was giving me information I had no way of knowing. I knew it was real. No one had to talk me into it. I knew it was demonic. I wanted out. I couldn't get out. So I said a prayer, two-word prayer, as an Orthodox Jew. Now, I wasn't a practicing Orthodox Jew, but I would go to an Orthodox synagogue at that point.
Right.
My two-word prayer was, "Jesus, help."
All right, I
woke
word.
Up
Let's take a break for a moment.
Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, The Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, The Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
Hello, this is health journalist Bill Sardi. By the time you reach the retirement years, the average American will be taking 7 different prescription medications. Wouldn't it be nice to stay healthy and avoid taking all those pills? One unusual molecule has been shown to be effective in maintaining health, allicin, the active ingredient in fresh garlic. You won't find much allicin in regular store-bought garlic pills, but you will in Alimax, the only 100% pure allicin garlic extract now being imported from Britain. Call 866-405-4000 to learn more about Alimax. That's 866-405-4000. Alimax.
The book that will really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Kaw's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Kaw's book, En Route to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw.
I'll just sitting in. If your child is coming home crying from school, just started school, and you don't know why, try having him read a paragraph out loud. You might get a little shock. If your first grader or your second grader can't read a newspaper to you, you probably need Phonixopoly, which you can also get from Dr. Stan. And meanwhile, we have our guests on the line, Sid Roth. And Sid, you had just reached the point where you had said a two-word prayer, Jesus help, and you might pick it up there.
Okay, in the New Age, I had visions and dreams and heard voices, but none of that. Jesus didn't come to me. I didn't have a dream about him. I didn't have a vision about him. You know, God knew that he had to show me in a different way than the counterfeit did. And when I woke up the next morning, the first thing I noticed is the fear that I had inside of me. I mean, I was so afraid, I was literally trembling. It was gone. I thought, that's kind of interesting. Then I realized that counselor that was inside of me, it was gone. Then I can't tell you how I knew this, but I knew that Jesus answered my prayer, and I knew that Jesus was my Messiah. But then the last thing was the most phenomenal thing. The best way I can describe this, Myrna, is I was in a force field of liquid love. Now, I've never taken a drug in my life. I've never been an alcoholic. I've had liquor, of course, but I've never been an alcoholic. So I don't know what the highs are in these various things. However, I tell you, there couldn't be anything as pure and as wonderful and as peaceful and as fulfilling as intimacy with God. And then I heard, to my knowledge, the voice of God for the first time in my life. And this is what he said: I hate divorce. Return to your wife and daughter. I'd been separated for a year from my wife and daughter. I didn't even know that was in the scriptures. Prophet Malachi says that. And so I didn't want to go back to my wife because I had a bad marriage, But I was so grateful to God, and I figured I was a dead man without God, that I would have done anything he told me to. So I went back, and this is my story. I can tell you my wife Joy and I have just celebrated, and this, by the way, was 30 years ago. My wife Joy and I have, this March, will celebrate our 40th wedding anniversary. God gave me back my wife. God gave me back my daughter. She is now married to a man of God, and I have three beautiful granddaughters. God gave me back my mind, but most of all, God showed me that it is possible for a human to have intimacy with him. God showed me that he is a God of love, a God of compassion, a God that cares for every hair on our head, and he showed me that Jesus is, in fact, the Jewish Messiah. And I can tell you that if my experience 30 years ago was the only experience I had, I might begin to think I'm imagining. However, I can tell you my relationship with God today, 30 years later, through the King of the Jews, Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, is better and more real than it was back then. And so God can make something wonderful out of a mess. My life was totally messed up. And what I do is I spend my life telling Christians how they can know Jesus, not know about him, and telling Jewish people that you want peace on this earth? You want to see peace between Jews and Arabs in Israel? You want to see anti-Semitism end? Believe in Jesus and make friends with Christians, and then the two of you, the Jew and the Christian, become what the Bible calls this one new man, and it's going to be what the first church was like. And I find that God has so much power that many times when I'm speaking, people that are just listening to me, like right now, are getting healed. And it's not that I'm a healer, it's just that I'm in love with the healer. His name is Jesus.
Well, that's an extremely interesting testimony. I believe you have a book, Fascinating Testimony, or what is the title of your book?
Well, actually, I've written a number of books, but one with my testimony is something, and it's actually an aspect of my life I didn't mention. It's called There Must Be Something More. And when I was in college, I wrote songs and music. And the name of this, and this was a record that I produced, it was title was There Must Be Something More, but that's also the title of my testimony book. I remember the words went something like this, because I work, eat, sleep, and that's the way it goes. Because I work, eat, sleep, and that's the way it goes. There must be something more. And you know, even as an unsaved Jew, a college student in a Methodist university surrounded with Christians, in Christian fraternities, do you know how many people, Myrna, told me about Jesus?
Maybe zero.
That's a terrific guess. No one. And as a matter of fact, when I was a broker at Merrill Lynch, I had a client. I had a lot of clients that were Christians. And then when I became very vocal in sharing my faith, one of them called me and said, I'm so glad you're a believer in Jesus. Now, I was gracious, but I thought to myself, I almost lost my life. You could have told me about Jesus before I made that side trip in the New Age where I almost lost my life. I have a pet peeve, and that is most Christians aren't Christians. We talked about that earlier. They're just into religion. And then the ones that really say they know Jesus, they're not sharing Jesus with anyone. And, of course, if they're not sharing Jesus with anyone, they're not sharing Jesus with Jewish people. But I know something. What I know is what is going on in Israel right at this moment is so prophetic. Very few Christians know this. I wrote another book on this subject. But did you know that the exact thing that the United States of America is doing right at this minute is written by the prophet Joel in the third chapter?
Yeah, I don't know that I know. What
okay, well, this is what it says. It says, in the last days, God will judge the nations of the earth And this is what it says. I'm quoting exactly, although I don't have a Bible in front of me, but it's the third chapter of the prophet Joel, the first verse. It says, they will be judged for dividing up my land. And in effect, the roadmap to peace is dividing up God's land. And if anyone wants to know why God is a Zionist, let me repeat that statement. If anyone wants to know why God is a Zionist, they first of all start by reading the Bible. But if you want to make it easy on yourself, turn, and again, I'm paraphrasing because I don't have the Bible in front of me, the 105th Psalm, verse, I believe it's 8 to 11. Psalm 105, 8 to 11 says, God has given the physical land of Israel, and then he says this in three different ways. He says, forever, everlasting, and 1,000 generations to the physical seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You notice, not Ishmael. So it's not even a political thing. It's not, it is strictly a God thing. I mean, think about it for a minute and tell me if this makes any sense to you. Israel is about the size of Rhode Island. It's a little dot on the map. They don't have oil. They don't have wealth. They have a population with a lot of them that are under poverty levels. If you get on a bus, you have a bomb. I mean, and the whole world doesn't know. I mean, the President of the United States and the Prime Minister of England are trying to concoct a deal to have peace. And what are they doing? Exactly what the prophet Joel said would happen in the last days, that would cause judgment on any nation orchestrating a Palestinian, except it doesn't say Palestinian. It says on dividing up the land God gave forever, everlasting, and 1,000 generations to the physical seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not Ishmael, the father of the Arabs. So God said it three different ways there, and that's a summary of what he says over and over again in the Old Testament. And I'll tell you what, I believe we are blessed by God to have President Bush in the White House. I believe that we could have really had a serious challenge if we had the other guy. However, even though we're blessed by God, Bush is surrounded by advisors that are giving him bum information. Do you remember reading the Book of Esther, and there was a bad guy in the Book of Esther? His name was Haman.
Yes.
And Haman, there's a spirit by the name of Haman, as well as a person by the name of Haman. And this spirit keeps jumping on people because it wants to kill the Jew. And Haman's, the spirit on Haman is the devil, but there's also a Haman spirit that has that name. And on our State Department right now, and the head of our State Department, there is a Haman spirit. And he, unfortunately, is having great influence, Mr. Powell, on the President of the United States. And it is imperative for Christians to, number one, not look at the politics, because I might add that I could be very persuasive on the political side, but that and a dime won't get you a cup of coffee at McDonald's. What I'm interested in is the God side. And I can tell you, you're either for God or against God. And if you are, it's not against the Palestinian people. I happen to believe that God loves the Palestinian people as much as he loves the Jewish people. But that's not the issue. The issue is that God has the right to say in his word that if you take the land that is his land, that he has given forever, everlasting, and 1,000 generations to the Jewish people and divide it up, God says he will judge the nations. Now, some people might say, oh, but Sid, that's the Old Testament. I'm under the New. Huh, you just don't understand anything if you think that. But if you want a verse that says the same thing in the New Testament, Jesus says the same thing. In Matthew, the 25th chapter, the 40th verse, it talks about a shepherd who is dividing the sheep from the goats. Now, I'm not a shepherd, but I certainly know the difference between a sheep and a goat. And Jesus said there will be sheep nations and there will be goat nations in the last days. A sheep follows the shepherd, that's a godly nation, and a goat has a mind of its own, and that's an ungodly nation. And God says that he will judge the nations in the last days in Matthew 25, verse 40, on only one issue, not on abortion. If I was God, I'd judge the nations on abortion. And there is a judgment, but that's not the final judgment. It's not abortion. It's not. Listen, God doesn't like homosexuality. He loves the homosexuals, but he doesn't like approve of homosexuality. There are, and the United States of America has committed every sin in the book. We know this is a fact, and it's the mercy of God that judgment hasn't come. But there is one deciding factor. Jesus said it's only one factor that will cause a nation to become a goat nation. It's the same thing that Joel said in the third chapter. What Jesus said is, you have done unto the least of these my brethren. And some people think, well, maybe he's talking about Christians. No, he can't. He hadn't died, rose from the dead. There were no Christians at that time. There were only two types of people on the earth at that time, Jews and Gentiles. His brethren were the Jews. So this is what Jesus said. As you have done unto the least of these my brethren, the Jewish people, you have done unto me. And this will be the issue in the last days, as far as whether you're a goat nation or sheep nation. And I'll tell you something. President Bush will not be president in the next, he will not win the next election, although I believe it's God's desire to have him win the next election. I think he can go down as the greatest president in history if he will not be a man pleaser, but be a God pleaser on this God issue. This isn't an opinion. This is based on the written word of the living God. And please do not call you, and I'm not talking to my hostess, but I'm talking to our listeners, do not call yourself a Christian if you refuse to be a disciple of Jesus. And you say, but Sid, look at these Palestinians. They were kicked out of their land. And but let me explain something to you. Number one, if the Arab nations wanted to help the Palestinians, they've got more land that's going to waste than Israel has. They have more money that's going to killing people in the United States as well as Israel than Israel has. Give me a break. When Israel finds a Jew that's been kicked out of their country and they come penniless to Israel, Israel makes them a mensch. That's a Hebrew word. They take them in, they feed them, they clothe them, they house them, and they make them productive human beings. But this whole issue of what is going on, even in Iraq, it's got nothing to do with Iraq. A lot of people think that it does. The whole issue is a God issue. It's got to do with Israel. And the Bible even goes so far, the prophet Zechariah in the 12th chapter says that all nations will turn against Jerusalem to battle in the last days. And I happen to believe the reason the United States of America is A, the greatest country in the world, and B, the most blessed country in the world, and anyone that thinks different, I suggest you go to any third world country and you'll come running back to America as fast as you possibly can, is because the United States of America has been a big brother to Israel, an older brother to Israel over all of these years. But Israel is now growing up, and this is what I believe. I believe that the fate of the United States of America, not of Israel, is contingent on Psalm 122:6, in which God himself says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Isn't it interesting? He doesn't say, pray for the peace of Paris. He doesn't say, pray for the peace of Washington, D.C. He doesn't say, pray for the peace of Mexico. He says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Thou shalt prosper that love thee. And in the Hebrew, the word prosper means to have heart peace. And if one thing this world wants, it's peace in your heart.
That's the only way
that you can have heart peace is to be on the right side of the fence, and the right side is not the political position, because the political position doesn't have all the information. So you can't possibly make a totally intelligent decision on Israel and the Palestinians just from your intellect. The only way you can make a decision is to look at a book that Jesus said is truth. Jesus said to Pontius Pilate, who said, what is truth? Jesus said, my word is truth. Now, I've given you an Old Testament prophecy, Joel, the third chapter, that says that nations of the world will be judged in the last days for dividing up the land of Israel.
I hear our music, so we need to take a little break.
Okay, but I get excited.
I want to have people know how to get your book, too. So when we come back, let's give that number.
Tape set, Genocide, and one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America, the fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer because people are going to have to die of something. You might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our 4-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
Yes, and
well, let me tell you about some of the 4-tape sets we have. One special tape set is the Tuskegee Study, and it's 4 interviews with people who were involved with the Tuskegee Study, or at least who've gone into the background of this really most horrible of all American experimentation. We had the unique opportunity to interview a number of the men who were involved in analyzing the Tuskegee Study, a government-sponsored study where 400 black men were recruited, and they had syphilis, and of course, what they did not understand is that they were not being recruited to be treated. They were being recruited not to be treated, and the government agents did everything they could to block those men from receiving treatment for their syphilis. Call today at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. It's important that you understand that study so you can better understand the mentality of the men who are working behind the scenes in America today. Ever feel sort of run down, that you need more energy? Well, let me tell you about a product. It's called Be Alive Royal Jelly, and I've used this for close to 10 years, and my family has used it. We've been very, very happy with it, and it recently the company came and offered to sponsor us for a month, so we certainly agreed to that. We think it's a great, great product. It's made from the royal jelly that comes from the beehive. This is what the queen bee eats. It's sold with a money-back guarantee. If at the end of 3 months you're not completely satisfied and you don't have more energy, just give them a call. But if you'd like to get Be Alive Royal Jelly, call 1-866-233-7500. That's 1-866-233-7500.
I'm sitting in for Dr. Stan Monteith. And Sid, before we might run out of time, let's do give people a number or a way to reach you if they're interested in your
testimony. Two things. If they'd like to see my television show, I interview people that have verified miracles, or hear my radio show, or just find out more about me. My webpage is www.sidroth.org, and that Sid Roth is S-I-D as in David, R-O-T-H, .org. www.sidroth, no space between Sid and Roth, .org. A toll-free number, if you'd like a catalog or information about our ministry, is 1-800-548-1918. That's 1-800-548-1918. They'll send you a catalog. I have many books. My testimony book, as I said, though, is called There Must Be Something More. But my heart's desire is for Christians to grow up, have intimacy with God, reach Jewish people, let the two of us get together and really have peace, not the roadmap to peace, but the Prince of Peace, Jesus the Messiah.
Well said, this is Dr. Stan, not with my laryngitis. What about the talk you're giving this weekend here?
I'm going to be this Saturday night at 7 and Sunday night at 7 p.m. at the UCSC Inn and Conference Center, 611 Ocean Street in Santa Cruz. That's this Saturday night at 7 p.m. and Sunday night at 7. And I'm looking forward to God showing up and changing lives. If there are people that are sick, if they will come, I believe God is going to do extraordinary miracles in the name of Jesus.
All right, so that's 611 Ocean Street, 7 o'clock Saturday, 7 o'clock Sunday, UCSC Conference Center, did you say?
Yeah, it's called the UCSC Inn and Conference Center. It's 611 Ocean Street in Santa Cruz.
Okay, excellent. Well, that'll be a worthwhile event for people to come out to, and that's more or less in Dr. Stan's bailiwick, too, so let his listeners understand that. Your toll-free number is 800-548-1918, and website is www.sidroth.org.
And Sid Roth is S-I-D as in David, R as in Robert, O-T-H.
Okay, great. Well, Sid, it's been extremely interesting to hear your testimony, and people, again, can reach Dr. Stan's organization, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. You should look in on Sid Roth's event then in Santa Cruz, which is at 611 Ocean Avenue, the UCSC, well, forgive my initials, but it's the Inn and Conference Center there at 611 Ocean Street in Santa Cruz. And Sid, it's been very interesting to hear your slant and your experience, and it's touching that you went back to your wife and now you're celebrating your 40th anniversary. That's a record for anybody.
It's a rarity, but I'll tell you what, my wife has changed. She's become a believer in the Messiah, so you might say she's a Southern Baptist, agnostic, Orthodox, Jewish believer in Jesus.
Well, that's got to be some kind of a record, too. And people go through many voyages in their lives, and they don't always wind up where they expected to be, but it's wonderful when they wind up together for 40 years and with your daughter and everything. So that's a very interesting testimonial to the power of this in itself.
Well, lots of people, to be human is to have lots of problems. To be human is to sin. But the good news is God loves us in spite of ourselves, and if we repent, God forgives us of our sins, and if we believe Jesus died for our sins, we can have our sins washed away, and we can, but expect more. Expect when you ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, to have intimacy with him, not just to believe in him.
I expect that is something that few people realize they could experience, and it's nice to hear you say that. All right, good. Looks like we've come about to the end of our program. Contact Dr. Stan's organization, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Dr. Stan's voice will be back with us shortly. And good afternoon from the Radio Liberty microphone. This is Myrna Selbrook.